I think it's good that they want to try to create opportunities for those that can get out in the community, but my concern is still that I don't think they're understanding that there are those with limitations who cannot.
For individuals with disabilities, workshops where those with cognitive or developmental challenges train and work together have for years been covered by federal employment funds. But according to the Affirmative Action Settings Rule, this type of employment facility is operating outside of the law by allowing those with disabilities to work in a segregated work environment.
I think the Settings Rule is trying to provide more opportunities for people, and that's a good thing.
Kaylin Beecher is the executive director of the Cash Employment and Training Center, which was first organized in the 1950s by parents of children with disabilities. By 1961, there were 15 children attending the Cash Training Center. Today, services have expanded to include clients from northern Utah and Idaho. Because the law considers the training center Beecher manages to be a segregated work shelter, unless she and her staff make changes, those with disabilities who continue to work there will soon lose federal funding. To remain compliant, job support centers will need to find ways to help their disabled clients find jobs in their community, basically shutting down the work shelter option.
Families are worried about some options being taken away from them in the process, and so that's why all these meetings are so important, so that families can have a voice.
Administrators with the Utah Department of Health and Human Services met with parents at the training center for one of several meetings to explain the law. Some parents say they worry there won't be enough interest by business owners to hire the number of disabled employees who will lose support services and funding if they don't find a job in the community.
My biggest concern is probably that the special needs population still have choice, that they are able to make their own choices and not be forced into something, because I feel they have that right as much as we do.
Joanne Olney's adult daughter has intellectual disabilities and has been a client with the Cash Center for nearly 20 years. She and her coworkers construct cardboard boxes for a local cheese manufacturing company. Workers receive compensation for each box they complete in an environment that may be defined by the law as segregated. But for Olney and other parents at the meeting, they see the shelter as a safe place to work and learn, safer for some than working in the community.
They are a vulnerable population, and I'm not sure that's being addressed properly.
I'm Tanya Hales, and I am the Assistant Medicaid Director here in the state of Utah.
Hales says it's important to give every citizen an opportunity to work and integrate within their community. Workshops for individuals with disabilities have the tendency to be viewed as a work environment that limits rather than enhances opportunities for training center clients to find community-based employment.
We're never going to force somebody to be employed, but we'd like to approach the assessment of each individual with the idea that if there's interest in employment, that we're going to do everything we can to help that person achieve that goal.
While some facility managers and parents are struggling with implementation of the rule, others have already begun to implement the desegregation regulation. Angela Houtman is the assistant director of Northern Utah's RISE Services, a Utah nonprofit provider of statewide services for individuals with developmental disabilities. She says RISE Opportunity Centers are already working with individuals who choose to pursue and obtain competitive long-term employment in the 8 communities they serve.
My experience in Logan has been it's been a really smooth transition because we haven't had to make a lot of changes.
Houtman says the Settings Rule is complex, and like most issues facing the disabilities community, it will always be difficult to find a perfect solution.
It's so individualized for the people that we serve that having a for or against segregated employment will always leave somebody out. There's always going to be somebody who would really benefit from segregated employment in their day program, and there's always going to be somebody who would really not benefit from that.
For Olney, she worries her daughter won't thrive in a desegregated work environment.
We've tried different settings out in the community, and they haven't worked for her. There just aren't the opportunities out there that she needs, and so I'm not understanding how this Settings Rule is going to make those opportunities possible for her.
Houtman does say the requirements will give those with disabilities the same opportunities able-bodied individuals have and will keep them from being overlooked or forced into a segregated situation.
We should all have the ability to live as freely and interact with non-disabled people in the community as often as you or I would.
Drew Shepard, who is an employment specialist for the RISE Center in Taylorsville, is the one who works with local business owners and managers to help find jobs for their clients with disabilities. This means finding employers in the community willing to hire staff that need a job coach or other adaptive considerations.
One of our main mottos is find the right placement, not just any placement. So we're looking for a job that is conducive to both the client and the employer. It's a win-win situation for both parties.
Shepard sees how clients benefit by working in their communities, and he supports the idea of pulling funding from segregated work shelters that serve individuals with disabilities. He also understands where concerned parents are coming from.
There's pros and cons to both sides, and I can see the kind of parent's dilemma, but then I can kind of see where, you know, we should be going for the actual individual. So, yep, it's definitely a debate that probably won't ever go away.
The settings rule changes have been on the books for years, but the funding cuts for non-compliant programs and disability funding recipients won't take full effect until 2022. With Utah Public Radio News, I'm Lauren Bennett.